The closing at Carpenter Street and the public lane between Wilkes Avenue and Stovall Street, east of Fourbank Street, under file DAC 1/2014. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will also be heard at the same time, namely, item 2 is a subdivision and rezoning at 1044 Wilkes Avenue under file DASZ 59/2013. Item 3 is a variance at 1044 Wilkes Avenue under file DAV 101186/2014D. I'd like to call the applicant forward, Donovan Taves. Did you also want Anupam?
I'll give a presentation, okay. And then the owner, his potential owner, Mr. Kathari, will join us. Okay, thank you very much, Donovan Taves, Landmark Planning, 298 Waterfront Drive. I've just got about 8 or 9 slides to describe the proposed project to help the committee make its decision with respect to the closing and the rezoning and the potential variance. Shouldn't take more than the five minutes or so. This slide here is from city documentation. It's the Wilkes South Secondary Plan, and the subject site is shown in the context of that plan in the red hatched area. You can see Sterling Lion to bordering the area to the south, and Wilkes bordering the area to the north, and a number of north-south streets, and most of those streets, well, I shouldn't say most, Carpenter and Warbank Street are not actually constructed. Those are just rights of way, and Carpenter Street is the subject of the street closing application, as well as not shown on this plan is a public lane that lies immediately adjacent to the west of the subject site. So the application deals with both Carpenter right of way and public lane not shown to the west of the subject site. There is a north-south street, east-west street shown here in the plan, and that I'm told, advised by the administration, that street is no longer part of the plan. So there's no east-west street plan there. There are a number of other land uses shown in the plan. The red parts are residential mixed use. The brown parts are residential. And then the green parts are for a proposed park, and those, my understanding is that those are city-owned lands. This is just a sketch I put together to show the subject site, in fact, the subject building, roughly shown, of course, in the context of the area, and to show that the building is roughly in scale with existing buildings. All the purple buildings are existing, so that you can see that in this planned area, the proposed building is somewhat like, in bulk, similar to the other buildings. This is a rendering that David Goyer, our architect, has put together just to place the proposed development in the context of the area with existing land uses shown in Google. Pretty neat little exercise that shows you how it will fit. The area, according to the secondary plan, or the area plan, I guess, it's not an official statutory plan, to my understanding. It's meant to be a transition, so it's an existing industrial area. The idea is to, over time, convert it to a multifamily, higher density area, and this particular proposal is a step in the right direction with respect to that plan, because that's exactly what's being proposed. In the foreground here to the right is the latest multifamily building that's actually been constructed, and then you can see to the left other multifamily buildings that were constructed earlier, and this, if approved, would be the next one. Which is encouraging, I think, from a planning perspective. This will be hard to see, but I'll zoom in a little bit. This basic site plan, it shows the two buildings. What's proposed is two four-story buildings of 60 units each for a total of 120 units. There'll be a combination of underground and surface parking, as shown on this plan. We're zooming a little bit in here to the north side. You can see the surface stalls to the north and bordering on Wilkes Avenue, with a landscape buffer along Wilkes Avenue and a sidewalk built along Wilkes Avenue. And then to the south, and you'll note that the two buildings are separated by this parkade ramp, but actually there's also over top of it is a fitness facility, a common area facility, that will join the two buildings on the main floor. And then outside on the south end is another surface parking area to supplement the underground parking area, and sidewalk connections from north to south through the site, as well as sidewalk on the Stovall Street frontage. We're showing option one because we weren't sure of the outcome of the closing application. So, as I mentioned, the closing application deals with possibly closing both Carpenter Street and the public lane to the west. And so we were trying to anticipate any number of combinations, whether the lane would be closed and not Carpenter, or maybe the Carpenter and not the lane, or maybe both would be closed, or maybe none would be closed. So those were all options we had to consider in our site planning, because it is a bit of an awkward site, being somewhat long and narrow. We're trying to work with that those proportions. So we came up with option two. What's nice about this is this option anticipates both the lane and the public lane being closed. And I'll just flip back and forth a little bit here. But if you look at the south end, which is along the bottom here, the landscaping strip is fairly narrow. If we're able to acquire both pieces, we're able to do something more interesting in terms of design. So the aisleway itself, the parking aisleway, is able to meander, which from a street perspective, it seems minor in a plan view, but from a street perspective, it creates some interest, particularly, again, with the long, narrow nature of this site, and allows us to do some more planting. I should mention, since we're dealing with the closing application, the eastern half, which is the lower east, is down on this plan. So the eastern half of the right-of-way in Carpenter Street is encumbered by a overhead hedge line. So we couldn't do high planting where there's a line, but we can do low planting there, and then in the westerly part of that right-of-way, we could do some taller planting, which would be good because, zooming back here to the original, bordering this site to the east, there are a couple of existing long-term, more industrial-type operations here. And again, the plan that the city has put forward that I showed is to transition those out eventually. And that will happen. The property values will go up as more and more developments go up. And over time, in other parts of the city, we see these areas transitioning. In the meantime, this site development will be bordering roughly an industrial site. So adding some landscaping and more substantial landscaping along that boundary is important to us, and I think to the city as well. So back to option two. And this just zooms in to show a little more of what the landscaping that can be done. Can be achieved on the east side would be. This is, next two slides are elevations just to show or to demonstrate the context. The administration and ourselves had some conversations about how to reduce the, I don't want to say impact, but the negative side of having a long and narrow site meant for long and narrow buildings. So a couple of things that we've done to address that is basically treat those buildings differently, to create some not only articulation with respect to the balconies coming out, the entrance areas coming out, the buildings between the two buildings. As I said, the community center will only be one, or the common area will only be one story. And then, of course, what's obvious in this elevation and the next one is the surface treatment. So the stonework and the coloring will be different to help distinguish one building from the other. And also, I think it's important to keep in mind, if you're on Wilkes or the street to the south, Stovall, you'll never really be looking all the way down one face of the building because of the nature of the narrow lot. So that's a view looking the other way, focusing on the second part of the building, or the second building. In terms of the, am I able to deal with all three reports in this part of the? Yeah, okay. We did have some questions, and I'm going to defer to Mr. Qatari about some of the details in the ACG report, some clarifications, and some questions having to do with items 1, 3, and 4 primarily, and he may have one or two others. Are there any questions about what's proposed before we cover off our questions about ACG? Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is Anupam Qatari. I had some questions in respect to the Schedule B of the report.
The
report? It's the ACD report ACG with the rezoning.
Okay, Okay, go right ahead.
Is that it?
With respect to the services on Stovall Street, we wanted to confirm whether that would be subject to future recoveries from other landowners as they develop on that street.
Okay, we'll clarify that.
Going on to number three, this would also be subject to, paragraph three would also be subject to future recoveries. And paragraph 3B is asking for a concrete sidewalk on both sides, which we feel is probably not necessary on that street. Wilkes also only has a sidewalk on one side proposed.
On both sides.
I guess I'll just add to that. This slide here is part of a memo. Part of a memo that I provided to Mr. Robinson, and he's used in his report, but it outlines what I understand the expectations to be in terms of pedestrian circulation in the plan area. So in this case, we anticipated one sidewalk on Brockville here. This is where that existing multifamily structure is. That's a subject site, and then one side here. And we weren't sure that both sides of all streets in the area would require a sidewalk. So it's a question.
Those questions?
It would be for Greg.
Okay. I guess we'll ask those later. Those questions? Can we ask them now? No. We'll ask them. So, yeah, we'll ask the administration later those questions.
Okay. I'll add one last variable in that question is that on the south side, those are largely developed already without a sidewalk. So I'm not sure if that horse has left the barn with respect to continuation east to west of the sidewalk on that south side.
Okay, and I had one further question on paragraph 7A. It is referring to all the utilities in the proposed subdivision to be buried. There are existing hydro lines on Carpenter, which we're proposing will stay as is, but the utilities to our site will be buried.
You want to clarify that?
Yes.
Okay.
And those are all the questions I had.
So when we get to our administrative part, I'll ask the administration to reply to those questions to me at that time.
Okay. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Any new problem?
Yeah, that was him.
Well, that was you. Eugene.
Athos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eugene Eriks? Not here. You don't have to speak, but
he just said,
he
just said he's in support. He doesn't have to speak.
Brian Ansiv.
Oh, his hand just moved.
It's work.
You don't wish to speak? Sir?
No,
okay.
Yep. Doug, your brother?
In support, Doug.
Just support.
Your brothers.
Renee Sikorkowski?
Yep.
You want to speak or just support?
Can I just say two sentences?
Sure. Come over here.
I'll see
you
over there.
I need you at the microphone.
Camera.
If you could state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Renny Zagolski. I'm a condo owner at number 131010 Wilkes. So I own a condominium just on the property to the east, which is not the newest development that Donovan referred to, but the next one. It's a 80-unit, two-story walk-up condominium project that's about 10 years old. And I do support the project, and I just wanted to say, if those are familiar with the area, it is an industrial, predominantly industrial area right now. So this, I support this project because it does enhance the livability of the area. It supports what the city is trying to do, and I think it'll add value to the existing condominiums that are there. Thank you.
Any questions?
No.
Azam Kambani?
In support.
Support.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in support that has not had their name called? Okay.
Sherry Reed.
My name is Sherry Reed, and I am an owner of the property at 1246 Brockville Street. The proposed development, my property borders on Carpenter Street, and the proposed development is immediately behind my shop building. I'd like to point out that Mr. Tays, I'd like to correct him, he referred to my property as residential. It does have a residential dwelling on it, but I'm also part of the industrial, and we have a fully functioning working shop, which is 10 feet from Carpenter Street. So that'll give you an idea why I'm opposed to losing Carpenter Street. I did have an opportunity to meet with Michael Robinson to gain a better understanding of what was going on with the proposed development. I like the pictures. It looks really nice, but I have a big question to the artistic rendering of green space. This is a very narrow piece of property behind us, and in the specs that I've seen, the potential 8 feet of green space is not very much. And it also denies me access to the back of my building. I am here today to talk about Carpenter Street. I do not have an objection to the rezoning of 1044 Wilkes. I certainly am from A to, what is it, RFM. I feel this is inevitable. I know the neighborhood's changing. I've been living there since 2000 and working there, and I feel the full effects of the change. And I'm not against it. But I do have to address this closure of Carpenter Street and the implications that it has on my property and my business on the property. On Carpenter Street, and I think it was already mentioned by the developer, there are the hydro lines. Now, that question to me has been answered that or proposed that these will stay. What are we going to do if you're taking away Carpenter Street to have access or right of way to these hydro lines? These are very important to the businesses that run there. And, for example, last year, the fire department was, well, they came in from the front of my property and through Carpenter Street because the pole behind my shop was struck by lightning. So I worry about access and right-of-way of these hydro lines and how is that affected with the overall plan of the strip of landscaping or, in the second plan, the more embellished landscaping this to take place on Carpenter Street or in the vicinity. The next issue that I have is drainage. My understanding, the planners come in all around and all the new developments have their sewer and water. Our properties don't have sewer. Our properties, my property relies on natural drainage. At the back of my building, on each side, are shallow ditches that run east-west. These ditches drain and have traditionally and just gravity drain out towards Carpenter Street. If this area is developed and consumes Carpenter Street. I don't know what the, I really don't know at this point in time what my grade level is at. I don't know if it's up to standard. What is this going to happen with this development coming in? And of course, that would all be built to grade. Where is my drainage water going to go? And again, my building is 10 feet from Carpenter Street. It's at the back. I don't have the opportunity, especially with the changing neighborhood, to move my building. It is what it is. So it greatly affects me. I'm glad that it's acknowledged that we still are, for the time being, an industrial area, you know. I'm looking forward to retirement one day, but it's not happening yet. And it has to be acknowledged by any of the developments around there, and I know I went through this with the development across the street from us, that occupants that are moving into these buildings have to know we make noise. We make noise. Particularly in the winter, we subsidize our landscaping business with snow removal. We have heavy equipment, and it's coming and going, especially this winter, 24/7, right? So I think that has to be stipulated to ongoing, and it seems to me that this has been acknowledged, but I'm interested in finding out what the building's used for. Is it going to be rental units? Is it going to be condos? The plans don't seem to be 55 plus, which has sprung up around us. Those are some of the questions that I would like answered, because I think that not only there will be a building there, I acknowledge that. My question is this the right building on the right slice of land? From the back, not my property line, but from the back of my building approximately to the front door, as the plans that I received from the city, is 60 feet. Now, I am 5 feet tall, so that's not very far, right? And that's a four-story building with balconies facing the back. Yeah, my place is going to change. There's no doubt about it. It will eventually, right? I'm not disputing that. I'm just disputing that it is, these are large units in a very narrow strip of land. My question would be, why don't you put a high-rise up at one end of the property or the other? You know, the main entrance on these plans, taking in Carpenter Street, means they drive in, there's one row of parking spaces, and then you're in the front of the building. If indeed what the Mr. Taves was saying, that you can work it around without Carpenter Street, you know, I would certainly be willing to look at. The other thing that I would like this committee to look at is parking. Now, this particular development has underground parking. My understanding, it is slated, I think it was for 194 parking spaces. The minimum required is 180. So they are certainly within the guidelines, much like the apartment block that was built on the corner of Wilkes and Brockville. I'm sure that they met the minimum standards for parking as well. That does not change us in the neighborhood, that there is constantly cars parked up and down Brockville Street. I'm not complaining about that. I'm living with it. I'm just saying, what is a minimum parking? If it's a rental unit like that one is, then you have visitor, you don't have accommodations for visitor parking, and it's taking up. To me, more to this committee, I just suggest that you look forward to, as you put more and more residential and multifamily buildings in this neighborhood that there's not, you should strategize the parking a little bit better. There's no parking right now in Wilkes, am I correct? And then on Stovall, there will be parking available. So my question is, visitor parking or other people that are going to frequent this building, aside from who's living in it, I think their option right now is to park on Stovall. Well, again, you have to respect, we as the industrial area are still there for the interim, and there's big equipment and heavy equipment, and I've already seen the effects of the apartment block. Again, you know, things will change, but it's something that as you put more and more buildings in there, are you going to change the parking on Wilkes? Or I think that street parking, just in a future aspect, should be part of the city planning. I know these might seem petty concerns. I can go on and on with petty concerns. For example, one other thing, but you know what? It's because I've seen the apartment block on the corner. I've seen the development, right? In the plans of this, this is nice on the greenscape and everything. But where are in the land use, where in the plans, where is the fire hydrants going? Where are the garbage bins going? The recycle bins? Where, I do snow removal. Where are you going to put the snow? Like, these are all different uses of lands on a day-to-day when it's occupied that you don't necessarily see in the plans. I would, you know, like some of these questions to be addressed so that I can get a better fix. Because, like I say, according to my measurements, and I could be a little bit off, there isn't a lot of room on the property for extra parking, for extra facilities. I really don't want to see the garbage bins, you know, right next to my the back of my building. I did, but I'm curious where to go. The apartment block in the corner, they have it built right in the middle of the parking lot. So it's not, you know, I'm sure that wasn't in their audit, you know, their artistic rendering, but it is reality. And so these are things that that I would like addressed. I've even come up with some of my own solutions in closing. Would you like to hear them? Well, first of all, I think the site plan should be revisited. So possibly there was a diagram there. I was trying to catch it all in the beginning. To at least in the interim retain Carpenter Street. I'm not really addressing the pathway on the other side because I'm on the east side, and that's my concern today. But I'm sure other people might have it. I think that this committee and the city should look at a little bit of a moratorium on the closure of Carpenter Street until it sees what happens to the redevelopment of other properties like my own. If you give everything to this first property, then I go to sell my property, it's a little diminishing on my property. Now I've got something big behind me. I don't have access. I'm not sure what the right-of-way is going to be to the power line. I have drainage issues. It makes my property, as hopefully selling to a future developer, less attractive. So I'm here to defend myself. I think the city needs to, you know, maybe revisit and hold on. If you have, I visualize units much like this going in on my property or Hensel Lumber next door or Monarch Landscaping on the other side, then, you know, maybe a back lane, maybe, you know, would still be feasible for all these buildings that are in there. So another proposition would be to maybe not eliminate Carpenter completely, but leave half of it, 15, I'm not sure what the city's dimension is, for a laneway, so that in future years, and again, this is probably after I'm gone, but you would have the ability to have some kind of access through there, even if it was a one-way laneway. Again, revisiting street development and parking in the area, and I really don't want to ask the gentleman to change the whole building. But for the very immediate present, I simply, my solution is to respect the existing property for as long as they're going to be there, and that the developer should look at covering the expense of a, I'm going minimum 8-foot privacy fence to separate the industrial. For me and the equipment in my yard, landscaping itself doesn't cut it. I don't want people walking through or cutting through my industrial shop, as it's been referred to. And I think that a fence, I don't know what the feeling is of the apartment block coming off of Wilkes, but certainly from my neighbors, the three industrial locations left, I think should be given that bit of privacy and protection out of respect for new development going in the area. And a fence only lasts so long, so that can change just as well as what I'm presenting for Carpenter Street. That could change, but maybe not jump the gun. There has been that situation between Centennial and Lockwood where you put buildings and condos in a very narrow area. This is not totally different. And if you're from my point and you go out and have a look at the property, I think you could see that. And again, the other thing that I mentioned was simply that the occupants of the building are made aware of our industrial circumstance so that I'm not getting letters and complaints in my short-term stay. Thank you.
Any questions?
No, you're very articulate. Very, and thank you very much. I'll be asking those questions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, James Gutnick. You want to be support or you want to speak?
He's in opposition, Councilor. Okay.
Is there anyone whose name has not been called who wishes to speak to the application in opposition? Okay.
We take to the applicant come forward.
Yeah. When do you want to ask the question?
Administration first. Can I ask administration? Can I ask administration before they come up, or do I have to wait?
He would like to ask administration some questions before the applicant comes up for rebuttal.
Yeah, because then they'll be able to help maybe after. we'll have those questions that were asked by. The applicant shortly, but first I just want to get off some other ones that I heard from before regarding. Let's just quickly go over on the lane closure. Utilities. How would the utilities? I guess it's a hydro line. I'm not sure if there's any sewer or water lines in there. How would they be accessed? Do you know? We would have an easement.
Yeah. Manitoba Hydro was contacted on the proposal, and they require an easement over the entire right-of-way, the entire Carpenter, as well as the entire public lane right-of-way. So no permanent structures will be allowed within the easement area, so they need to maintain and access their poles.
Okay.
Water and Waste was contacted as well. There's no infrastructure in either Carpenter or the public lane. And they didn't identify any requirements for a site plan to
identified possible drainage issues, but that was their response from Water and Waste. So we have no infrastructure there.
So you have this hydro line, and so the development that's coming forward doesn't include that part in their landscaping, or does include that part in their landscaping?
It does include it. So as I mentioned in the presentation, it would be low plantings, so that they don't interfere with the lines.
So break over. So trees would go on the other side.
Okay. They would also take care of the drainage for that. So they would incorporate it.
That's right. That's where the drainage would come from, right?
And they would have to put in a catch basin or whatever
for
is
both.
Required to make it drain properly.
Okay. So that would be the drainage other question we had. On the actual subdivision itself and the rezoning, many of the questions, and I wish we had it first, but we just don't. Is a Brockville shadow plan, which will outline a lot of those connectivity issues about both sides, about why we're making you put sidewalks around, and what we're doing about parking and traffic flow and all that kind of stuff. And the shadow plan is just like a first step in that, because you're right, the neighborhood is changing excessively right now. What about the idea, and it was a good point that was brought up, I think, about the sound attenuation. We have numerous times have had issues of an industrial area where the residential area grew up around it, and then the industrial area gets a lot of calls by angry residents. Is there any issue or discussion regarding that in any of the proposals?
In terms of the plan, the building is located to the far western side of the property, so it's about as far away from the industrial uses as you can get on that particular site. There is the buffer, which will help, and there is an option for fencing as well, you'd have to ask the developer about. But we think it would be a good idea to have a 6.5-foot high fence along that property line as well.
Okay. And regarding the parking for the site, I know they're a little bit over their minimum. Do we have any concerns about guest parking, I guess we'll call it, or? But that's a minimum. That's what they have. That's what they have to provide us.
That's right.
They're doing what the policy says.
A little more than that.
Plus a little bit more. So I understand the concerns about the parking, and that maybe I have to address a little bit more in the shadow plan about on-street parking.
Yeah, and we can ensure that the developer meets the minimum requirement for guest parking, which is 10% of the overall stalls. So they have 194 stalls. We could stipulate that they would need about 20 stalls for guest parking.
Okay. The other question, which was very especially and sounds someone knows their business here, waste bins. The other joy we hear is people, when the bins get picked up in the morning, that's the joy to wake everybody up, and they are quite unsightly. Do we have that outlined yet, where the waste bins would be going and pick up in the plan, in their plan?
Yeah, shall I?
You have it there? You do have it?
It will be underground. A lot of these issues will be dealt with in plan approval at next
that's
stage,
right.
but at this point we're confident they'll be underground.
And I guess, I'm not sure we plan approval now. I'm gathering the snow will have to be removed from site. When you have the snow removal part, we'll have to have some, but you can't stack it, pile it up anywhere. So it would have to be, like most places, removed from site. Is that correct?
Yes.
From our size?
And I guess we're losing our snow.
That's right. Yeah. You can't just whip it across Keniston. No.
Well, we did
have some
place to
a little wheelbarrow. Okay. And now if we can just... maybe the other questions that we had are the little more technical questions that we had.
With respect to the recoveries on Stovall, on the north side of Stovall, in the undeveloped areas, once they develop their lands, then they would be charged to pay their share. So recovery there. On the south side, in the existing area, those folks have already paid a fee to it, so that would be a reimbursed to it.
That's it for me. For the administration, that's it for me.
I'll
thank you.
Just do one more. Just checking to make sure before we do the rebuttal. Is there anyone else in the room whose name has not been called who which is would like to speak on this application? Okay. So, Donovan, you can proceed.
The floor.
Thank you very much. I had made a list as well as the as I'm sorry, I missed the last name, as Sherry was saying, and a number of the items, as I mentioned, I think can be dealt with plan approval, but we'll cover them anyway. And some of them were suggestions to the administration more than to us as the applicant, I think. Apologies with respect to how we referred to the property as industrial. It is, I guess, residential and industrial in terms of her adjacent property. So it's a bit of a mix there. There was one question with respect to the amount of the green space buffer, and depending, you know, if the, like I said, in the, if the closing is approved, then we can go with the option that has a wider landscaping buffer as shown here. And so that would be more than 8 feet. It would range, because it's a curved line, it would range from 8 to about 20 feet. With respect to access, you've already dealt with the question of access to the hydro, because hydro will ask for a blank easement. But that easement, they may reduce it once we indicate what the actual requirements for the hydro facilities are on site. Sometimes they go from blanket to, no?
I think they want to just
want a blanket. Okay. Either way, there'd be access to the hydro. Also was mentioned the access, sort of loss of access to the properties on Brockville. Those properties all currently and for some time now have accessed their sites via Brockville. So it's not, in our view, it's not really a loss to have Carpenter Street, the legal right-of-way, removed. Isn't really a loss of access to these sites. They still maintain access via Brockville. There was talk about retirement, but not right now. And again, I just want to reiterate our view that what's happening in this neighborhood is a benefit to all property values in the neighborhood. Our view is that all properties of all types, zoning and use, will increase in value because of the change that's occurring, because of the transition as resulting from the plan. There was a question whether this is the right building on the right site. We think it is, and notwithstanding that it is long and narrow, as Mr. Robinson pointed out, we've designed the site carefully. A professional architect with a good reputation has designed it properly. We've set it over to the west so that there is a bit of a distance buffer, if you will, between existing land uses to the east and this property. It's also of a scale that we think is suitable and fits the scale proposed in the plan. There's talk about high rises. We're not proposing high rises. And we're not sure that would fit what the city's vision is for this area, vis-a-vis the plan itself. We had shown 10 parking stalls for visitors, plus we're above and beyond the requirement of the bylaw. But if the committee would like to look at additional dedication of those existing stalls more towards visitors, we can definitely look at that and be happy to deal with that at plan approval with you or here, however you see fit. The privacy fence, we'd have no issue with constructing a privacy fence along the eastern boundary at the bylaw requirement, or the bylaw maximum, which would be 6.5 feet. We mentioned the garbage would be underground, and that is the end of my list in terms of the person who presented in opposition. The one item we hadn't raised in terms of the ACG report is, and I wanted to make sure, I think I heard it said here, but I wanted to make sure it is clear that there. If we read the ACG report correctly, there was a requirement that the developer take the overhead lines and put the existing overhead lines and install them underground, and I wanted to make sure that wasn't the case, or if it was written that way, that we wouldn't be comfortable with that large cost.
Did that reply back? Yeah. No, that wasn't the intent. Unless there are things that have to be moved
right
as a result of your development.
Okay, thank you. That's all I had.
I just have one follow-up question on the variance, which is, I admit it, it's number three there. It's indicating that the variance that you're requesting is denied.
Yeah, the variance was only needed if the carpenter was not acquired for this development.
So it's still at the 20 feet.
Correct.
In this model.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. So, let me get there. Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. Okay, let me get there. Where should I throw that in? Unamended?
You're going to add it into the subdivision rezoning?
Is that the zoning or the closing?
The closing, isn't it? It's for the rezoning. It's for the rezoning? It's for the dedication.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's from the rezoning, though, not from the closing of the streets.
So you can just add it in as another recommendation.
Okay.
So instead of it going to the whole community, can you just go somewhere else?
It goes to that new market building. It's in the area. Yeah, that's what I'm doing now.
Go to page two.
Are you looking at this? Yeah. Right there. Keep going. How did we get there?
You're on your way. I don't know where.
You keep getting off.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I got it. Right here. So the public service is taken as read.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried?
Oh, this is for the closing, number one. Public registration be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried?
So the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to Standing Policy Committee on Property Development.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried?
That the public hearing in respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried?
Street.
So item two.
Do you have to read something about the closing or no?
Yeah, I'm sure
you
say
it can be appealed. I'll do it after the subdivision rezoning because they're together. Okay. Please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council. I'll go to subdivision rezoning.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we'll amend it first. Should I get the amendment in or what?
You can amend close. It.
You can close the public
hearing. Oh, right. Like, does the report of public, Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read?
All those in favor, opposed, carried.
Receipt of public representation be concluded.
All those in favor, opposed, carried.